Well, I don't know about you, but I could sure use a mountaintop experience of divine glory and awe. Don't get me wrong. These days, I would settle for a church with some people in it. I mean, I'd take that. But if I can be allowed to hope for something more than a church with a few people in it, I'd love just a glimpse, the tiniest little glimpse of whatever it was that happened on that mountain. Now, I'm grateful for video services and Zoom and the Daily Office on Facebook and outdoor services, at least when it's not 20 degrees, but I can't yet remember a time in my life when I yearned more for transcendence quite as much as I have been yearning for it lately. You know, a blaze of glory to break up all the pandemic gloom, a little cloud of divine imminence to envelop me and change the scenery. Maybe it's the result of all the worry and the anxiety of this past year. Maybe it's the lingering fear and uncertainty about the future. Maybe it's just the crazy cold that we are experiencing right now, which is just insane, isn't it? And it can sometimes get into your soul like it sometimes gets into your bones. Whatever the reason, I'm yearning for something, just something like what happened to Peter, James, and John. I want to feel my heart filled by that kind of extraordinary mystical experience that defies words. Because in case you operate under a sort of false impression, being a priest, it does not grant you the gift of regular encounters with the transcendent glory of God. I think Rebecca would agree. Most days for me look like what I think are most days for you. Chip away at the ever-replenishing to-do lists, comb through lots and lots of emails, and do my best to answer as many as possible. Zoom, Zoom, and more Zoom. Wonder about what we're going to make for dinner. You know, that kind of stuff. So the thought of entering into the cloud on the mountaintop and seeing Jesus in perfect radiance sounds incredible. If I'm honest, my longing for this kind of transcendence has been around or lurking within me a whole lot longer than the pandemic. I have always been one on the lookout for the next great spiritual adventure, the one in which I will finally fully experience that profound, intimate encounter with the glory of God, where I'll, you know, see my own burning bush or hear the voice out of the whirlwind, that sort of thing, when I will reach whatever my own personal transfiguration mountaintop is supposed to be. Years ago, I went on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. I've actually been three times, but this particular occasion happened on one of those trips. It was my second pilgrimage there. And I was ready to go beyond the usual sites, all the stuff where all the tourists are. I was ready to visit some places off the beaten path. So one day I took a taxi cab from Jerusalem through two Israeli checkpoints to a dead end of a little highway about 20 miles outside of Bethlehem in the middle of the desert to visit an ancient monastery called Mar Saba. It was founded in the late 5th century by Saint Sabas the Sanctified. What a great name. He should be in Lent Madness if he hasn't been before. And eventually it came to be the largest monastery for hundreds and hundreds of miles around, largest monastery in the region, where hundreds of monks and ascetics lived in these tiny little cave hermitages in the side of the wadi, fasting and praying and living out holiness in the best ways that they could imagine. Now, I hoped to spend a few days in residence with the monks, but since I am not Greek Orthodox, the best that they would allow me to do was to come inside and pray inside the chapel and then wander out and up the wadi side to the cliff face and the little cave where Sabas himself lived and prayed 1,500 years ago. So I spent all morning sitting in that little cave, listening for the voice of God, and trying to soak up what I assumed was the imminent holiness of this ancient sacred place. But mostly what I heard was the clang of the bell from across the wadi every time a new group of pilgrims arrived to pay their respects, and also the honking horn of that cab driver who dropped me off, who just was sure that I would want to go back with him at any point, and he kept honking to let me know he was ready to go. I had hoped to stay for 3 days. I left after lunch. Sometimes we go to places assuming that there at last, we will be transformed. As though spiritual experiences are like Wi-Fi, and if we just get close enough to a router, we will get a strong signal. But if there's anything that I've learned this far in life, it's that most of the important spiritual encounters are not something that we have any control over. It doesn't work like Jedi's learning to control the Force. Even Peter, James, and John didn't seem to have a clue what was happening to them, let alone any control over any of it. And they were standing in the middle of the cloud as it radiated with divine light. But then we shouldn't just throw up our hands and call it a mystery that is simply beyond all understanding. Because you see, God did actually give us a clue about where to go if we want to find him. And it is particularly good advice for all of us who live mostly in the spiritual plains rather than atop spiritual mountains. Then a cloud overshadowed them, Mark's account describes. And from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Notice that the voice does not say, "Come up here every time you're anxious or bored or just, you know, need a little spiritual recharge." Nor does the voice say, "Now you have seen and experienced everything you need in order to live in a state of perfect bliss." It says, "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." Which has me convinced that what we all need aren't more mountaintop experiences of raw mystical power, but more regular experiences of listening to Jesus. Because for most of us, myself certainly included, all of this yearning for moments of spiritual transcendence is mostly a distraction from remembering to do what God says. It turns out that the first step on the journey into the deep mystery of God is choosing to listen more carefully to God's beloved Son. A few days after my trip to Mar Saba, I had a chance to spend the night in the Church of the Resurrection, also known as the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which is home to the sites of the crucifixion and the resurrection. During the day, the Church of the Resurrection is an absolute crush of pilgrims from all over the world. You can hear just about every language you can imagine inside there. And you have to wait in lines in order to venerate any of these sacred sites. You have to wait in lines that make Disney World seem quaint. But if you are patient and seek permission, you can be granted permission to spend the night inside the church after the great wooden doors are shut and locked. And the caretaking priests make you promise that you will stay awake throughout the night. You won't go to sleep, and you won't eat anything, and you'll remain quiet so as not to interrupt any of the liturgies that happen at various points throughout the night in Greek and Latin and Armenian. But it was all a small price to pay for the opportunity to sit inside the edicule, that little chapel that you might have seen in photos, perhaps even been to in person, a little chapel that sits on the site of Christ's tomb, which you usually get about 8 seconds to enjoy before a Greek priest comes in and hustles you out. That night I got to sit inside of it for 2 hours. As far as holy places go, it is about as lofty as they get. It's truly one of the thinnest places I've ever been. I sat there for a long time, being quiet and praying for everyone and everything I could imagine. But after a little while, I realized that I was not going to be swept up into a cloud, nor did anyone resembling a gardener come in and sit down next to me. It's a little resurrection joke for those of you who get it. Instead, I was filled with this strong urge to pull out a Bible. And then I felt a desire to turn to the Gospel of Matthew. And by oil lamps that burn perpetually in that special place, I sat there for those hours and I reread the words of Jesus. I focused with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength on listening to him. And sure enough, his words were alive to me that night in a way that they had never been alive to me before, like he was saying them to me, which of course he was. All these years later, as special as it was to kneel and pray in that holiest of places, what continues to stick with me the most is that urge I felt to read the words of Jesus, to listen to what he had to say, including everything he said by his life, as well as with his mouth. I can't go to Jerusalem or kneel in the edicule any old time I want. But you see, here's the thing. I don't need to. The same words, the very same words that Christ spoke to me that night are the words that he speaks to us every single time we open the scriptures, wherever we may be. They, not the place, however special it may be, they are the catalyst for our transfiguration. Near the end of Mark's account of the transfiguration, there is a line that is easily missed. After the voice has spoken, telling them to listen to Jesus, suddenly, it says, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. Only Jesus. Turns out they didn't need the transfigured Christ to go with them down the mountain. They didn't need a dazzling Messiah to guide them through the hard days that awaited them. They didn't need to stay in that cloud in order to be saints. All they needed to do was to listen to the one who humbly stood before them. See, we want glory and awe to break up the gloom, but what God says we actually need is only Jesus. We want transcendence to disrupt the ordinary and the mundane, but what God says we actually need is only Jesus. We want spiritual escapes to bring a little excitement into our lives. But what God says we actually need is only Jesus. So don't worry if you haven't glimpsed the full brightness of the Lord. Don't worry if you haven't yet reached the mountaintop or experienced transcendence. For even now you have all that you need. For you have only Jesus. All you need to do is listen to him. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.